There are lots of books out there about the art of negotiation, but I'm not sure there are many, or maybe even any, about the art of escalation. And when it comes to negotiating a contract with Microsoft, sometimes you need to be ready to escalate. The process is part experience and part psychology. And today we've got just the guest who can offer some tips and tricks for how to go about escalating during your Microsoft negotiation. Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the editor-in-chief here at Directions. I'm your host for the series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. Today, my special guest is Steve Kelly. Steve works with organizations here at Directions on Microsoft to optimize their Microsoft licensing agreements and protect them from future licensing liabilities. Before he joined Directions, Steve spent 11 years as president and CEO of Software Licensing Advisors, an independent Microsoft licensing optimization and negotiation consultancy that served the mid to large enterprise market space. During that time, he worked on hundreds of Microsoft Enterprise Agreement negotiations, achieving more than $1 billion in savings for Microsoft customers. And prior to that, Steve worked at Microsoft as a corporate account manager responsible for teams of sales, support, and licensing specialists focused on large enterprise customers. Hi, Steve. Thank you so much for doing the podcast with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Mary Jo.
Yes, you were good enough the first time that we're going to have you on again.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk escalation.
Sure.
First off, are there any kind of rules for customers when it comes to deciding whether or not to escalate a contract dispute when they're talking to Microsoft?
Yeah, so there's no, I wouldn't say hard and fast rules. Generally, It's necessary to escalate beyond your account team because the field empowerment for discounts and amendments to the terms and conditions of your contract is pretty limited at the field level. Account teams try to minimize the outside involvement of what they call the deal desk, an entity over at Microsoft who largely has the approval authority.
Okay.
Now, the account manager or sales manager, again, they have very low discount maximums. So if you're going to craft a more customized, highly discounted EA, at minimum, the deal desk will have to be involved, but probably others as well. And you know, there's an extended account team map of every EA customer should ask for the identity of their primary rep, their what they call their ATS or their account technology specialist, their supporting team, the sales manager in the field, and leadership on up to the corporate VP, and any dotted line resource like the licensing executive, the deal desk representative, and an executive sponsor or industry analyst. That map early on gets you information about eventually who you might escalate up to. So it's important to know, you know, who all those people are that might receive monetary incentives or bonuses associated with your EA on up the chain.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you something about that map, because it sounds like something that would be extremely useful to have, but who gives that to you? And can you just ask Microsoft for it?
Yeah, just ask your account manager to deliver that to you. And again, it's better to get that early on than, you know, that they know you're unhappy with your deal and you want to escalate. Now you're asking who their boss is, right? So get that early on when it doesn't come with any kind of expectations of how you will use it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, all of this will be helpful as you identify, you know, where the gaps exist from your best field offer, what they call the best and final offer. Often they refer to the BAFO, and then formulating a plan on who you want to escalate to and when. And by the way, never be intimidated by the field adamantly telling you that this is their best and final offer. You know, that's usually code for there's more movement here if you ask the right person with thoughtful justification.
Okay, that's good to know, that little secret handshake. All right, another question for you. Is every escalation completely situation and maybe personality dependent?
Well, in my advisor engagements, you know, I find it's almost always necessary. But the escalation point individual, the timing and the messaging are all pretty important. I mean, you know, rarely does virtual fist banging on the table get you very far. Right. There has to be some rationale or justification for your escalation. And sometimes it's very obvious, you know, when you've been presented a, you know, a 5% discount, some pittance, and all of your concessions that you've asked for have been rejected. That kind of stonewalling is an indication you're talking to the wrong level. Or maybe, you know, you're dealing with a new account manager, especially one that's outside of Microsoft, or that has goals that, you know, they just can't deviate from. So when account teams have something like a 22% year-over-year sales growth, and that's not uncommon, you know, that their quotas are that high. And essentially, you know, their job is on the line. I remember when I was at Microsoft, you know, a 98% achievement to your quota was a fail.
Yeah,
that's not acceptable. We used to create these sales plans called plans to exceed plan. How are you going to make 105, 120% of your quota, right? So, you know, they're holding on to those kinds of discounts and concessions pretty tight at the field level. They might not even honor concessions in the current contract. And you know, we'll have to, you'd have to call out to their superiors much higher up to get your current contract, you know, acknowledged and enforced. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but I see that happening surprisingly often lately.
Wow. Yeah, it's good. It's good for customers to know like where the pressure is coming from on the other side, right? So that they can understand why people are being tough. Okay, so if a customer goes ahead and they decide to escalate, how do you suggest they go about figuring out exactly to whom they should escalate? Like, how do they figure out, okay, I see the map, who should I go to first?
Yeah. And so, you know, there are executives in the academic space, in the federal sales area, in the defense industry, and commercial. And commercial is sometimes broken down further by industry and say, banking or retail. The higher you go up, the greater the account quota diversity, meaning that a VP has so many accounts under their purview that they can offer, you know, or approve a higher discount for you, and it won't decimate their quota attainment at the regional level, right? And so, you know, that kind of suggests that the squeaky wheel gets the oil, and there's probably plenty of other corporations in their basket of companies in that region that didn't ask, right? Yeah. And so didn't get, and you want to be that squeaky wheel. So, you know, an account manager at the field level, when we're talking about your direct account manager, you know, especially for Fortune 500 accounts, they may have only two accounts, right? And only one of those accounts has an EA renewing this Microsoft fiscal year. So they're going to hold on to every concession, every point of discount, like their job depends on it, because it does.
Yeah, exactly. All right. With that little Machiavellian laugh, let's take a quick break to talk about directions on Microsoft's world famous licensing boot camps. We've got a few of these, both virtual and in person, coming up over the next few months. Our Microsoft licensing and negotiation boot camps can help people like you understand the rules. You'll learn how Microsoft products are licensed, how to avoid traps, and how to spot opportunities for savings. Given all the recent and coming licensing changes from Microsoft, it's a great time to talk with our experts who have decades of experience. You will leave with at least one tip and likely lots more that will help you more than pay for your LBC course. Our next virtual boot camp is happening October 27th to 31st. And then we'll be in Los Angeles with an in-person boot camp in February 2026. And again, in person in Washington, D.C. in April 2026. It's not too early. Find out more now by going to directionsonmicrosoft.com/training. Okay, here, let's go back to the escalation do's and don'ts with Steve Kelly. All right, are there risks in escalating that customers need to figure out before they decide they're going to do so? Like, how do they weigh, is it worth me going ahead and escalating this?
Well, so let me just say first, my general mantra is, if you don't ask, you don't get. Swing for the fences, you know. But working with advisors like Directions on Microsoft, who routinely see what a reasonable deal looks like, or if a special ask, you know, is appropriate. Mm-hmm. What concessions, you know, will be well received by Microsoft and which ones will be overreaching, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing will help determine whether an escalation will be granted or you'll get a stern reply. Yeah, you know, no, because it was just too extreme of an ask, or it was the wrong person at the wrong time, you know, and then you will have blown that escalation. Mm-hmm. You know, usually you escalate on up. And if your ask is so, you know, out of line, you might reach somebody like a Judson Althoff, and you know he's going to say no to your request.
Yeah.
And so you know you're not going to be able to re-escalate, right? So right. You have to do that carefully.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, Microsoft EAs are so subscription-based these days that companies tend to get nervous if they haven't reached a deal and their EA is about to expire, mm-hmm. and then things will heat up on both sides. You know, even threats made by the local account team. But the company that kind of uniformly circles the wagons, holds out, and can achieve, you know, more of their deal financial goals and customize concessions by staying firm. Now, certainly you have to know your levers and your corporate mm-hmm. fortitude, but far too often I see corporate negotiations teams give in because Microsoft said, oh, well, your EA is about to expire. It's a subscription. If you don't, you know, if you don't pay, you can't keep using it. We're going to shut off your tenant. We're going to revert you to pricing, full retail, and we're going to begin monthly billing on this. Lots of kind of, unpopular or non-productive, let's call them threats, you know, fly in the final days of a stalled EA negotiation. And usually from the field teams who have incentives around on-time EA renewals, and you're starting to see that panic showing through, right? So you have to shut that kind of, you know, emotional blackmail down. Yeah. I conceivably you've had progress throughout, you know, many weeks or months of negotiation. And so threats like that are not helpful to getting the final, you know, last mile and getting a deal done.
Right. Right. Yeah. And some of them sound like idle threats, but it's hard to know, right? Which ones are idle and which ones aren't.
Yeah. And when you're escalating to an executive, you know, usually that stuff doesn't happen. You have a higher level. Again, if we talked about, you know, diversity in their accounts, level of professionalism and, you know, kind of peer conversation that goes on to get you over that last hurdle and ink a deal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, speaking of higher level execs, I am wondering, is there ever a case when a customer should just go nuclear and escalate all the way up the chain to people like who you mentioned, Judson Althoff or Amy Hood, or maybe even Satya? Like, are there reasons people should do that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There are times. I mean, I had a case where a Microsoft account manager flat out refused to honor a written and executed EA's renewal price guarantee, something that you know, we often refer to as a not to exceed clause, where in your current EA, you know, Microsoft has agreed that if you move from, say, E3 to E5, we're going to give you a really good price on E5 this time, and we're not going to increase that price at renewal beyond 10%. You know, we're going to kind of price mm-hmm. lock you at no more than a 10% increase in your next EA.
Yep.
There's usually some tricky provisos that are included in that clause. Mm-hmm. And in this case, they were even going beyond those provisos to say that we don't have to honor this at the account team level. So even there, we didn't escalate to Satya, but we did have to escalate quite a bit.
Okay.
You know, I think some of the concerns that I have is that, you know, there's been some announcements. Judson Althoff recently took an 8-week sabbatical during the summer, as Microsoft revamps the sales organization and several thousand, you know, reductions in force around sales and support people. So they're reworking customer engagement is the conversation. They're going to have a primary technical lead is what I'm hearing, supported by kind of AI sales bots or salespeople instead of a human salesperson. And that, you know, is going to impact the way escalations are conducted up to and including Satya. Fortune 500 companies interfacing with AI sales bots for ongoing account management or EA renewal negotiations just ain't going to fly. I can tell you that with the companies I'm dealing with right now as customers. We're even suggesting, and so are their attorneys, suggesting that we have to have actual language in our contract that Microsoft will have a human interface for them for account management. So we're seeing quite a few kind of grumpy large clients out there saying, not in my backyard. We're not okay with an AI salesperson, right? So, I think a number of those, introductions or changes in how the account team is structured is going to cause a backlash here that may potentially cause a number of escalations that require a human authority in order to kind of reach a deal and to continue with human interface account management. And I don't know who that goes up to. We'll see what Judson's role is in the future.
Yeah.
But I think every company out there should take notice of this, because you're going to have to be assertive or you'll be relegated to dealing with an AI sales bot that can only offer you, a deal within tightly controlled preset parameters, right? And so don't let that happen to your company, right? Make noise.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. Now's the time, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. I know you can't name customer names, but I was curious if you have any examples of times when an escalation worked and didn't work.
Yeah. There's plenty of examples that I think an escalation, got you over a hurdle, got you a concession you needed, got you a couple extra points of discount. And, with many of our customers, they're pretty big, they're $50 million EAs, they're $500 million EAs. So a couple points makes a big difference.
Right.
When you escalate, you have to have a peer level executive in your firm, who's kind of in the bullpen with the aptitude and attitude to take on the role of the tough but fair, authority that has the power and influence at your end to trade commitments of, say, increased Azure spend, an Azure commitment, as opposed to maybe, considering AWS for that. You'd be willing to port more over to Microsoft, or you'd be adopting Copilot, Power Platform, or other key Microsoft sales performance items in trade for discounts and concessions, and that person can assure the signature of the deal on time. Mm-hmm. Right. So, so usually that's somebody that either would sign the EA, or they would be able to facilitate getting it done. Right. If we could just, reach an agreement on these items. One 50,000 seat communication firm I recently worked with was able to get another 11 points, or I guess $2.2 million off their Microsoft E5 line item. They were able to get 10,000 Copilots down to $22 from $30, I think, per user per month. Yeah, so that was a big win, and it's not something we see too often that Copilot is discounted.
Right.
There's last minute horse trading that goes on in key performance areas that Microsoft wants to see in these deals, but the right people with the right authority to make these decisions, if they get in the discussion in this one case, the company saved $36 million on a $205 million EA. And a lot of that was done in the final stretch, right? We're talking about the last 2 weeks before the EA was renewed. And that was all due to escalating and getting the right executives talking to each other and getting over those hurdles. Another 5%, another, few dollars off of a SKU. Especially when you're talking about SKUs that represent, say, 80% of your annual spend. It's important to get another buck off on that one.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
right. Yeah, there's unfortunately too many examples, too, where companies didn't escalate. And I think there was a lot left on the table. So, I think it's about defining the right people at the right levels, a fair but stern message, coordinated corporate fortitude. You don't want any kind of weak links that will fold. Mm-hmm. And then escalating usually toward the renewal date, toward the end, with enough time to get the EA finished by its expiration, so that, they can get their on-time EA renewal win on the Microsoft side, but not so early that no one has your EA on their radar yet.
Right.
It's too often I have customers that, maybe they have a December EA and they want to talk to their account team about their EA in the preceding May. Well, with Microsoft's fiscal year ending end of June,
Right.
You know, they don't care about your December EAX.
Exactly.
That's not in their scope.
Right.
Right. So it's about timing there to get people to pay attention to it. And usually, you know, that those final hurdles are going to be paid attention to and deals made, horse trading and swapping going on for your, you know, get those final concessions in the last 2 weeks to a month. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for all the really fantastic tips and info. That was great.
Thanks. Yeah, you bet, Mary Jo.
All right. I would like to remind our listeners they can find lots more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics you would like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via X or Blue Sky. Directions on Microsoft also is on LinkedIn, so make sure you follow us there. We at Directions have converged our existing social media channels into a single new platform, so also give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT on X or Directions on Microsoft on Blue Sky, so you can keep up with all of the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thanks again.